This is a special day, not only first Saturday, but first Saturday in the month of May, the month devoted to Our Lady. So I want to tell you about three things. First is the first Saturday devotions, then a 33-day consecration, and then about this Mass, a votive Mass for Our Lady of the Cenacle. So first Saturday devotions, many of you may be familiar with it. I encourage you to consider this and to take this on. It was a request made by Our Lady of Fatima, and it has four requirements to on five consecutive Saturdays. Five consecutive first Saturdays, so first five Saturdays of consecutive months, to go to confession, to receive Holy Communion, to say five decades of the Rosary, and to keep Mary company for 15 minutes meditating on the 15 mysteries of the Rosary. Confession, communion, five decades of the Rosary, and 15 minutes of meditation. A couple of clarifications. The confession can be received within 20 days, either before or after the reception of communion. So that's 40 days, more than a month. You're all going to confession every month anyway, so you're already doing that. Reception of Holy Communion must take place within 24 hours of the first Saturday. So that's either today or tomorrow. And I think also yesterday. I think it goes backwards as well. And the reception of Communion need not be part of participating in the Mass. So if somebody is homebound, they can still do this. And then the 15 minutes of meditation in addition to the recitation of the Rosary. So you can't double up. And the promises of Our Lady here is that she will assist us at the hour of our death with the graces necessary for salvation. So this is a great way to continue to increase our devotion and our relationship with her. Okay, secondly, a 33-day consecration. There are many ways to do this. St. Louis de Montfort was the one who first popularized it, and you can get his book. I think it's called Consecration to Our Lady, or True Devotion to Mary. There are some more recent versions as well. One of my favorites, you've heard me mention this a lot, is Sheltered Within Her Heart. So I encourage you to take a look at that. And one that I'm doing right now by Father Boniface Hicks called The Fruit of Her Womb, 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus. The Fruit of Her Womb. And we're on day 7, and so You can it started just before the month of May so that it would end at the end of the month of May. So 33 days of readings, of reflections, and finally with a consecration at the end of the 33 days. He's drawing a lot from St. Louis de Montfort, but also from Pope Benedict, and then his own reflections. And I'll share a little bit about that. Pope Benedict, in a Christmas message, the Christmas message of 2011, he talked about the prideful presumption of being self-sufficient. The prideful presumption of being self-sufficient. And he talks about this as the great evil. The great evil that God came to save us from. We can't save ourselves, but we're inclined to be self-sufficient. This was the temptation of the serpent in the garden, that Adam and Eve could be their own gods, and we live in the consequence of that. So now we try to save ourselves. And even after we commit our lives to Christ and to Mary and begin living a Christian life, we still have this inclination, right? If I only do X, Y, and Z, then I'll be better. I'll be more virtuous. Well, no, God wants to save us from that. God is going to develop our virtues, certainly. But we have to come to this place of humility, of recognizing, I can't save myself. This can really do away with a lot of shame that we feel about our sins and our sinfulness. Right? Every time we try again and again and we fail again and again, we arrive at this place of shame. Why do I keep doing this? Why do I keep falling? Yes, let's keep going to confession and let's keep repenting. But with the understanding that God is the one saving us. This is the ground, this is the foundation, this is the disposition. And this frees us to look at Him even immediately after we've sinned. Be able to turn to Him and say, Jesus, here's yet one more reminder. Can't save myself. Thought I could. It's my last confession. I made the resolution that I was going to save myself. And now I'm reminded that I can't. So Jesus, I need you to save me once again. And then Father Boniface reflects on this and he says, God does not answer prayers that cause us to need Him less. He is trying to save us from being alone and from needing no one. See, that's what we think, right? If I can just perfect myself, then I won't need anyone else, including God. God doesn't answer prayers that cause us to need Him less. Generally, when we go to an earthly physician, we hope that our issue will be resolved well enough that we never need to see Him again. This is not the approach of the divine physician. Of course, we know God is the divine physician. Jesus is the divine physician. But this analogy, as all analogies, they limp. So we can misunderstand this by thinking, well, I'll just go to Jesus so that He can fix me, and then I'll go on my merry way. My merry way. I'll go on my isolated way. Yes, let's go our merry way. Marian way. All right, I go to Jesus so that He can fix me, then I can be alone and go do my work out in the world. No, that's how a physical doctor, right, would go to the physical doctor so that He can fix us, so that we can go do our work. But no, Jesus doesn't do that. This is not the approach of the divine physician. He seeks to treat us so that we never try to go without Him again, because He Himself is the cure. Then he says, let us reflect on the ways we might try to use God in order to need God less. So we can do this kind of examination of conscience here in preparation for the Eucharist. What are ways that I'm trying to use God so that I might need Him less? And then as we recognize that, we can lay that on the altar. He continues, a baby in the womb is radically dependent on his or her mother. And a preterm baby is never better off being outside of the womb. Even if a baby must be born prematurely, the doctors care for him or at best by creating an environment, that is as much like the womb as possible. A baby without a perfect loving mother cannot find a better place to grow in love and life than in the womb. And so Mary, our perfect mother, nurtures and protects us until we are ready to be born into eternal life. So just like we don't want to go to God, to Jesus, just so that He can heal us so that we can go back out in our way, we don't want to go to Mary just so she can do something for us so that we can go back to the world. Now we want to live in the womb of Mary. The seminary I first went to in the Midwest, the main chapel is called Our Lady of the Immaculate Conception. And the first thing people notice when they walk in, myself included, is that there isn't a visible Marian image. And turned out that there is a very big one at the very center, but when I walked in there, that year they were renovating it, so even that was down. And you start looking around and you think, well, why is this called Our Lady of the Immaculate, or the Chapel of the Immaculate Conception? And then you realize that the blue shade of the walls and the symbols around and various names, titles of Mary, and you realize we're in her womb. That was the design of the chapel, to be inside of Mary's womb. And this can be our reality, not just in church. And then thirdly, Our Lady of the Cenacle is this votive mass. Votive mass for Our Lady of the Cenacle. Cenacle, cenaculum, the Latin. It's where the Spanish gets the word cena, dinner. So dining room. It's also the upper room. The upper room is known as the cenacle. So Our Lady of the Upper Room, Our Lady of the Cenacle. There are two main themes here. One is that she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And so hear carefully the words of the preface that I'll pray at the altar. It includes, the one who was overshadowed by the Spirit at the incarnation of the Word is once more filled with this gift from on high at the birth of God's new people. So she was overshadowed with the Spirit at the incarnation, at the Annunciation. And now also, after Jesus' ascension, she's waiting for the Holy Spirit. So this place of already and not yet. And so are we, not only throughout our lives until we die, but also in a special way right now, in between Easter and Pentecost. The already and not yet. We can be with her. And also, she's the model of the church, the second theme of this Mass. She's the model for the church. Above all, she is the model of prayer, for God has given us a wonderful example of prayer in the church at its beginning, namely the Mother of Jesus, as she prays with the apostles in oneness of mind and heart. The one who waited in prayer for the coming of Christ is still at prayer as she calls upon the promised Paraclete. So how can we do this? How can we be with her in this already and not yet? It's not just by learning about her and then imitating her. That's true, that's part of it. But more than that, by becoming one with her. In our Exodus group, we just this morning, we looked at this beautiful image of the Mary holding the baby Jesus, and the baby Jesus cradling her face and looking right into her eyes, and even pressing his nose into her cheek. This is the invitation for us. We can go into her womb and allow her, our perfect mother, to nurture and protect us until we are ready to be born into eternal life.